This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. For the past year, a team of Columbia University researchers has been looking at a landmark juvenile justice initiative in New York City called Close to Home. Close to Home began in 2012 as a five-year pilot program that allows juveniles to stay in small group homes closer to their communities rather than in locked facilities in upstate New York. What researchers found was Close to Home was in many ways a success.
Researcher Vidhitha Anunthakrishnan from Columbia University's Justice Lab and Charlene Moore, the director of Youth Justice Milwaukee, sat down with WUWM's Angelina Mosher Salazar to learn about what Wisconsin can learn from the story of juvenile justice in New York.
I am actually an advocate, a grassroots organizer. My background has been solely centered around working with high school age young people.
I'm Vidhitha Anunthakrishnan, and I am the director of Youth Justice Initiatives at the Columbia University Justice Lab, where we're really working on shaping justice for the future. And what that means in our youth justice work is really to look at ways to really end the sort of punitive youth prison model. And the work that we're doing right now is really about disseminating information and helping folks leverage that information to do that in different places. And one of the ways we did that in the last few months was put together this case study looking at what New York did, and specifically New York City, to kind of transform its juvenile justice system. And we think that's going to be really valuable, particularly in a place like Milwaukee, which in many ways mirrors where New York was 10 years ago. We know that, like, Wisconsin has been sort of grappling with a crisis in the juvenile prisons at the state level, and that there's been a lot of discussion about what should happen and bringing the kids home. In part because many of those kids are, in fact, Milwaukee kids. And the same was true, again, like in New York many years ago. And there was just this question. It was this moment to sort of really consider, like, what do we want to be? Are we going to sort of continue on this path? Are we basically going to recreate what we had at the state level, at the city level, or are we going to do something different? And I think Milwaukee is in a similar position right now to really ask that question and think through what the implications are. Like, we have a moment. We're at a different point in time than we've been in for a long time, and we can make this a transformation.
So there's this claim that there are similarities between the case in New York and where Milwaukee is currently. Could you guys talk to me about the similarities? Because I've lived in both places, and I feel like that's apples and oranges.
Mm. Yeah.
So talk to me about the similarities.
I guess when I say that, I'm really talking about kind of the circumstances when we're talking around juvenile justice. And so specifically, you know, thinking about the fact that years ago, even in 2010, crime had been sort of dropping, overall juvenile crime had been dropping. And in terms of the numbers of kids who were getting sent to youth prisons, that was sort of going down. It was something like a drop of 56 or 57% over the span of 8 years. But who was still going were kids from New York City, and most of those beds were all upstate. A very similar set of circumstances, I think, seems to be evolving here, where I think the numbers are down and the number of kids who are actually getting placed is way down, but they're still pretty much going to this one facility that's sort of far away. And so I think this notion that, you know, that's an expensive thing to do, and it was very expensive in New York, and I think it's very expensive here, it just raises a lot of questions around what are we getting for that? And there's been a lot of documentation of poor outcomes. I know that there's been a lot of stories here in the news around that, and there were tons of stories that were happening in New York. There were a lot of really damning reports that had come out at the same time, that really quantified the kinds of abuses happening. And so it just became this sort of rallying cry. There was suddenly this intense visibility around it.
Mm-hmm. So I want to turn a question over to you, who have been an activist here in Milwaukee. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that. Talk about juvenile justice in Milwaukee for our listeners who are not familiar, and you can bring them up to speed about kind of the problems that we're facing right now in Milwaukee, and especially Governor Evers, yeah, and what he has brought to the conversation recently.
Yeah, I have to say, and just reiterate what Vidhitha said, as far as we're at such a critical moment right now where we can do what is best for all the children in the state of Wisconsin. And I love that Governor Evers comes from an education background because he understands young people. He understands children, and he understands what it is that children need. I think this is the opportunity for us to really start having conversation about what's best for it. And, you know, so having other folks that have done work outside of the state saying, you know what, we've done this, and this has, you know, provided some great results. You all should try the same thing, right? It's that moment where we can now converge in time to say we have to start doing some things differently because the outcomes, particularly for Black and brown children, has just not been the same for white children. Even though crime has decreased over the last several years, the disparities has still been existent with Black and brown children. And so we want to make sure that we're acknowledging that, okay, this is definitely a moment, but let's make sure that we're, you know, looking at the elephant in the room. So when we look at the state of Wisconsin and specifically zoning in on Milwaukee and looking at the legislation that transpired, Act 185, to close down Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. So Lincoln Hills and Copper Lakes is our youth prison. Lincoln Hills is for boys, Lincoln Hills School for Boys, and Copper Lake School for Girls. Those two facilities are in Irma, Wisconsin, which is about 3.5 hours from, specifically from Milwaukee.
And why is that a big deal? Why is that problematic?
Absolutely. So when you think about a space that is so far, so if you think about 3.5 hours there, 3.5 hours back, that's a 7-hour transportation. And if you're taking, if the state also has a bus that goes from county to county on particular days and picks up families to bring them out there, that trip is even longer, right? So that is an absolute problem because young people are away from their families and those close connections that they typically would have to support them while they're supposed to get the support and opportunity and services that they need. They're unable to get that on a regular basis. So being so far away from the people that you love and care about you the most, that's a problem, especially when it comes to the rehabilitation of a young person. In addition, some of the things that were happening at Copper Lake and Lincoln Hills, the abuse that was happening with young people, you know, we're talking about a system that has failed so many children over the last several decades. And having people that don't come from a youth development framework, that don't know how to work with young adolescent, right? We all remember being young once before. And you think about what is it that you needed? Think about the things that you were involved in. Think about the things that made you successful and think about the things that didn't. Think about growing out of some of those behaviors, because I'm sure some of our listening audience would look back and, you know, put their hand on their head and be like, whew, yes, I'm glad I grew out of that, right? So young people need a level of support, but they also need trained individuals that also resemble them, that look like them, that understand their circumstances and where they're coming from in order to provide that opportunity for them to learn from some of their behaviors.
So what happened in New York?
Well, a lot of it came down to that political will. Mayor Bloomberg decided on this, that there was a point where he said, we want to take the kids back. And so it sort of sprang into action, this committee in New York City, to really look at how we could do this differently. Let's start sort of planning a new response. And that's what they did. They brought together lots of different folks around the table, including the heads of the Administration for Children's Services and the Probation Department, which includes Vinnie Schiraldi, who is our co-director at the Justice Lab now. But all of these folks were sort of around the table talking very openly about, like, what do we want? Where mm-hmm. do we want to go? And who do we want coming into our system? And what does that mean in terms of what we have to have in the community? And so basically it was a year-long process of kind of planning this out and drawing on experts to help inform that. A lot of this conversation centered around, you know, what does it really mean to have kids come into our system, and who needs to be there, period. And so there's a lot of attention paid on just what the processes even are for making a decision around who goes to a youth prison and who doesn't, and sort of structured decision-making that came into play at the court level around that. And then separately, a whole conversation about alternatives. So it wasn't just about brick and mortar buildings, right? And I know there's a lot of attention being paid right now to the facilities that will be built in Milwaukee or at the state level having beds in Milwaukee or other non-secure beds that'll be in Milwaukee. In New York, this conversation was not just about beds. It was very much about what do we need in communities that can support kids with their families in their own homes without the use of incarceration. And so a lot of this planning committee focused on developing those alternative programs and supports. And to some degree, if you answer the question about who even needs to be in the system, some of those kids, you know, there may really reasonably be an argument to be made that they could sort of have some supports and not need to actually go away, right? And to stay close to home and be working with the family as well. And that's what happened. There was a huge investment made in a lot of those programs.
So my final question for you both, as an activist, as a person who is involved with community here in Milwaukee, this is your issue and you feel we're at a unique moment. Are you optimistic or are you pessimistic?
Always optimistic. I always see the glasses being half full versus being half empty.
All right. You have experience looking at this thing. You saw the case of New York. As you said, they're still evolving. Do you think Milwaukee is on the precipice of something? Are you optimistic or are you a little bit more skeptical?
No, I mean, I think there's a lot that is happening here. And like I said, I think this is a moment like the, you know, things haven't yet been set in stone. And I think, you know, with all the changes that have happened politically, I think this is just a time for real questioning. And I think to the extent that folks like Charlene, but also folks at the county level, everyone can kind of come together and really think about, again, who do we want to be? You know, where do we want to end up? I'm excited.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Vitha Anunthakrishnan is a researcher at Columbia University's Justice Lab. Charlene Moore is director of Youth Justice Milwaukee. They spoke with WUWM's Angelina Mosher-Salazar.